And hello, 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 and welcome back. You are listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And boy, do we have one big event coming up this weekend. It is sponsored by an incredible large group of people. I've got Lifetime Medical. We were just talking to them about home health care, and they're going to be hiring people at the Waterfire this weekend. We're going to have the U.S.-China Institute, Dragons on the River, Little China on Steeple Street. You're going to want to stop by, see the tent. And of course, we have our longtime sponsor, Webster Bank, who has been with us for years. And I'm so happy to have my friend Brenda Green and Bob Toomey from Webster Bank with us. You've been just, again, wonderful supporters. And looks like we're going to have perfect weather for this weekend, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. I'm a big September fan. And we always seem to sponsor Waterfire in late September. It's been terrific.
Yeah, and you know, I was looking at the weather, and it looks like it's going to be nice, just a little bit crisp, you know, so it's that perfect time to, like, feel the fires, feel the warmth, and all of the music and stuff. But I wanted to, you know, thank you, one, for so many years of constant support, and, you know, I know you care so much about your community, and Webster Bank has got such a beautiful story. And so I'm not, Bob, would you like to tell us the story behind Webster Bank?
It's a great story, Bronwyn, and I've shared this with a number of people, but the bank was founded 80 years ago. This is our 80th birthday, and our current CEO, Jim Smith's dad, founded the bank. Mm-hmm. His name was Harold Webster Smith. The bank is named after him, and he borrowed $25,000 from family and friends. This was back in 1935. To be able to make mortgage loans. You can imagine what it must have been like in the middle of the Depression to try to get a mortgage to buy a house. And just the fact that he did it with $25,000, you know what the cost of a house, you know, back then was. But he did that. He didn't open his first branch, I think, until 1958. Mm-hmm. And he was in Little Waterbury, Connecticut. And Harold Webster Smith's son, Jim, was a Dartmouth grad. He graduated in 1971, I think. He went to Wall Street for a couple of years and then joined his dad and became his dad passed the con to Jim. You know, in the early mid-80s, I think, Jim became the CEO. You know, in the early 90s, you know, we went on the New York Stock Exchange. He renamed the bank after his dad, Webster Bank. And it's just been a terrific story. I compare it to It's a Wonderful Life.
You know, sounds like Jimmy Stewart.
The Jimmy Stewart movie. Yeah, I mean, it really is terrific. How many banks, you know, big, large-sized banks, $23 billion in assets, traded on the New York Stock Exchange, can say they've only had two bosses, father and son, in the history of the bank.
I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, especially knowing that, you know, banks, there's big conglomerations now. And
exactly.
Sometimes that kind of feeling that something is still so, like, home-based and that you can really, there's something kind of, like, family-like about it. Well, it is family.
It is family. So it makes the employees feel good, I think. You know, I'm sure Brenda will agree. I mean, you just feel like you're working in a family situation almost, you know, and Jim cares so much about the bank, so much about all the people that work there, that it just, you just feel so stimulated. I mean, it's like campaigning for Waterfire. I mean, it's the same sort of thing that, you know, you feel like there's a greater good that's resulting from all the effort that you put in every day, and that effort's not going to go unnoticed, and I think that's true.
Well, you know, that's one thing that I've always noticed, because, Brenda, you've always invited me to whenever there's an event happening with Webster Bank, the CEO is always there, and
yes.
He knows everybody. And to me, that, again, there's that personal side of things that I see at Webster, which I just find to be very different than a lot of other places.
It's true. Jim doesn't really talk much publicly about this, but he just celebrated his 40th anniversary as a Webster employee. And the employees wanted to do something, give him some sort of memento to, you know, celebrate that time that he's been with us thus far and let him know how they feel about him. And I had a really nice privilege. I was asked to proofread and edit a memory book that had been compiled by employees across the bank. Hundreds of employees contributed to this piece. And I spent one day at my kitchen table reading through story after story that had been written by Webster employees. Everyone from folks who work in the banking centers behind the teller line to people who work in the corporate office, all different people from all different parts of the bank, and all the wonderful personal stories they had told about Jim and the one of the themes that resonated the most was how he always remembers everyone's name. Yeah. And we have 3,000 employees over, gosh, even more than three states now, because we're also down into a few cities like Philadelphia. We just announced Atlanta. We were opening a small lending office
in
D.C. We have our HSA Health Savings Account division, which is based out in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and Sheboygan. And just to read all these stories that people had written on their own, no one got together and conferred. It was just this beautiful, organic piece. And I sat there reading it going, wow. You know, it almost made me cry, and it wasn't even about me. But it really hit home to me after reading that, how much this bank means to everybody, myself included.
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows, just even in the trickle-down theory again, what that kind of leadership, how it really does go through a whole organization. And then I even see it when you come and support WaterFire and you support the communities that you live in and that people work in and play in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have to apologize to everybody out there. I'm sitting here. I've got the most amazing man that I have not even introduced yet sitting next to me. And it's our managing director, Peter Mello, who is my co-host. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Bronwyn.
Sorry
thank you for
about
having
that.
Me.
I got
no,
all excited.
I'm loving hearing the stories. So.
Hey,
carry on.
About Webster Bank, and I was like, oh, geez, I didn't say hi to Peter. But yeah, so, you know, the banking industry's gone through a lot of ups and downs over the, gosh, what, the last 7 years, or I would think, 7 or 8 years.
And 2008, like fourth quarter was when it started getting bad.
Yeah, how did Webster fare during that time?
Well, we had issues, Bronwyn, like you know, virtually every other bank. But I think the thing that distinguished Webster was the way we reacted to it. I mean, our president, Joe Savage, who's our number two guy, likes to say that during that period, during the period of the Great Recession, when other banks were running away from their customers, we ran toward them. Yeah. And, you know, instead of foreclosing, we would modify the payments on the mortgage. And we got very favorable press in the Wall Street Journal. You know, we were on Good Morning America. There was a segment there where we were recognized for the way we were handling, you know, the situation. So, you know, if Peter Mello, you know, loses his job at WaterFire, let's say during that period, and he's having trouble making his mortgage payments, is it appropriate or apropos, whatever, for Webster Bank to foreclose on Peter? Well, no. I mean, that's a lose-lose situation, really. Foreclosure is very, very expensive. You know, if the bank forecloses, you got to pay the taxes, they got to pay the insurance and so forth. No, it's in much better interest for us to modify the payments on Peter's mortgage so that he can get through that tough period.
Yeah.
And when Peter rebounds and gets another job, you know, we just return the mortgage to the original terms. And believe me, we won a lot of very, very, you know, loyal customers for doing that.
Well, because you're treating people like people, not like a number.
Exactly.
And not like an account. You know, that's, I think, where the difference is.
It goes back to the earlier remark about the Jimmy Stewart movie, It's a Wonderful Life. When one of the networks, I can't remember if it was ABC or if it was Fox, did the national story, they actually teed it up with It's a Wonderful Bank, and they used some of the footage from that movie to introduce Jim Smith. So it was, and it was right before Christmas that year. And so it was just, it was one of those moments, you know, where, especially someone who works in PR, you're like, wow.
Perfect.
You know, they get it.
I mean, from a commercial perspective, one of our commercial clients in New Bedford, you know, as a matter of fact, was having some tough times, and we had to move them into our workout department and so forth. And one day Jim Smith's assistant called me and said, I have a letter here addressed to Jim from Barney Frank. And Barney was, you know, the congressman from Southeastern Mass. And, you know, most of the letters that he wrote to banks weren't real positive. So she said, I'm going to send it over to you. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, what's this going to say? And so forth. And I get the letter and I'm reading it. And he said, I went out to visit your customer, ABC Company, and met with Bronwyn and Peter, you know, and you know, they told me they'd really been, you know, going through a tough stretch, he said, but they couldn't be more complimentary about how Webster Bank had dealt with them. And he said, it's very unusual for me to write a letter like this, but, you know, the situation was so relatively unique that I wanted to make a point of complimenting you on how you've handled that situation. And I've used that letter in and all sorts of presentations and so forth. And again, not naming the name of the company or the individuals or anything, but just pointing to it as a as evidence, if you will, that that's really how we handle the residential clients well, and we handle the commercial clients well.
Well, and I think that would mean that your employee retention and the pride of people that work at Webster Bank has got to be pretty amazing.
I mean, you feel good about working for a bank that treats the customers that way. Conversely, if you're working for a bank that, you know, holds a gun to people's head, you don't feel really good about that. You know, even you know, whether or not you're the one that's doing it, you just don't feel good about it. And so, again, that's added, in my opinion anyway, to the whole mystique around working for an employer that you feel very, very positive about.
Now, is there anything that's kind of new and well, I mean, the banking industry is changing radically, I think, just because of technological advances as it is.
Yep.
Yes.
But what is it that's happening at Webster that you see that's kind of shifting and changing and that people should know about, or new things that are coming along?
Well, first of all, I mean, we got into this market. We, Webster, you know, back in 2004, we acquired First Federal Savings Bank based in Swansea. And at the time, there were, I think they had six branches in Rhode Island, and we doubled that, you know, in a relatively short period of time. And we've added lots of new people. Brenda and I have both been, I think Brenda's been there 11 years, I've been
yes.
there 10 years, and so forth. And we've added a lot of people, many of whom came from bigger banks. Mm-hmm. And the people that came from the bigger banks, you know, come into a Webster, again, this much more customer-friendly, employee-friendly environment. And they feel good, and they're able to recruit. I think I've recruited 25 people in the 10 years that I've been there, and it really hasn't been that difficult because they reach out, they find out what it's like, and so forth. And so we've, you know,
I think Bob, you've recruited more people for the bank than anybody else in the bank.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to be a good salesperson when you feel good about what you're selling. Right?
So, I know that feeling, Bob.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't, I mean, it's virtually impossible. But, you know, we've got we opened our offices in Providence and Boston back in 2009, right at the height of the recession. Yeah. Major commitments, you know, and both of them have paid off really well. We've got 33 people now in our Providence office focusing on business and municipal clients. I was the regional president for 10 years, and I've just passed the con to a former colleague of mine from Fleet Bank, Doug Scala, and I've taken on a special projects role. And a lot of people say, well, don't you want to retire? And I said, no, I like working here. I enjoy coming to work every day. And it's really working out, you know, it continues to be fun for me. So, you know, that's where I stand on that. So Doug's doing a great job. You know, we've got two of our major businesses, Webster Investment Services and Webster Capital Finance, are run by Rhode Islanders, even though they're both businesses are based in Connecticut. We've got two guys, John Illyrio and Sam Hanna, who run those businesses. And one of Doug's recruits, Steve Craven, been very successful bringing new middle market relationships. He's only been on board a year. You know, we've initiated a commercial banker training program. Like other banks, we have an aging workforce. We've got a lot of baby boomers that over the next 10, 15 years are going to be saying goodbye and retiring, unlike me. I'll be working into my 80s, but only kidding. But we want to be able to pass on the wisdom and the experience that we've gained over the years to this younger generation, to the millennials that are coming on behind us. Our cash management personnel, they're focused on cybersecurity. That's a big, big issue.
It's
with
something
all the
that
scams and the hackers.
Oh my gosh, you know, it's something that worries me because everybody is moving to their banking online and banking on their phones, and that's one of my concerns. Is there? I don't know. How do you see that, like, moving ahead in the future? Because hackers, that's what worries me.
That's right.
You know,
and they could be anywhere in the world, and they, if they get into your account, or you know, they they contact people and say, wire the funds to this account, and in Eastern Europe someplace, and you know, the money goes out, and God forbid, getting that money back is not easy.
Well, I can only imagine, even just for being the bank itself, having to try to follow up on that when somebody's identity is stolen or the money is stolen out of the account. That's just got to be so very difficult.
Oh, it is.
It is, but you know, I've heard some very heroic stories out of Webster about us being vigilant and noticing patterns and getting on top of it and notifying the customer before anything could happen, or if something did happen, just doing something unbelievable to unwind it and make it right, because we, we were always having to think about it and stay a step ahead of the curve. But, you know, the curve keeps moving and changing, so it's perpetual. And we have an amazing woman who works for us named Kim Syrup, and she's down in Connecticut, and she's in charge of a lot of that division. And she's done everything from literally work over the Thanksgiving weekend one year to help unwind something for a customer to starting an entire bank-wide program where our bankers go out and teach about elder financial exploitation
at
any senior center or assisted living center, any type of organization that serves our older population. We have bankers who will go out and teach seniors and the people who care for them how to be on the lookout for this type of financial abuse.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that when we come back. We've got to take a commercial break right now, but I'm having just such a blast talking to Bob Toomey and Brenda Green from Webster Bank, our sponsors for this weekend's Water Fire Lighting. And we're going to talk more about what Webster Bank's doing. And then when we come back, Peter Mello, are you going to tell us where Water Fire's going in the future and all the exciting things that are happening?
We will, and Bob's going to help me tell that.
All right. You're listening to AM 790, your station for talk and business. We'll be back in a second.
Want to be involved in Rhode Island's largest volunteer-supported arts organization? Waterfire Providence has rewarding volunteer opportunities at every Waterfire Lighting and throughout the week, every week. Our incredible volunteers make it all happen in a variety of ways, from being on the river to greeting guests and everything in between. There's truly something for everyone. Individuals and groups can get involved today. Email us at volunteer@waterfire.org or call 401-273-9727.
And hello, 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 and welcome back. You are listening to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island, and we are getting ready for a very big water fire coming up this weekend. Chinese culture, dragons on the river, all sorts of good stuff. Lifetime Medical hiring, Webster Bank on site, our big sponsor. And we've just been having a great conversation with Bob Toomey and Brenda Green and Peter Mello all about just all the wonderful things that Webster does and the beautiful culture that you have there, which I think kind of reminds me of what we do at Water Fire, and it's really about the community and really seeing people one-on-one and treating people like people rather than a number. But you've got a lot of exciting things, Bob, that you're doing at Webster. Can you expand a little bit on some of those?
Yeah, Brian, we've brought in a couple of veterans in the private banking world to expand our ability to service, you know, both personal and institutional wealth clients. We've hired a former SBA lender relations specialist, a fellow named Glenn Gould, who started with us, who's going to help us put SBA guaranteed deals together. We've expanding our municipal relationships. We became the bank for the state of Rhode Island a few years ago, and that's really helped us. And Pat Paola and Zaya Kamsai-Varavong have led that effort. We've got a 401k initiative, which we've implemented, where we've got 1,100 plan participants and $70 million in assets. And
wow.
John Illyrio's group is very helpful in that area, because not only do they put that plan together, but they help Peter and they help Bronwyn make the decisions as to how the money's invested, which is, I think, a real helpful initiative. And I neglected to mention the private banking individuals are Chris O'Connell and Regine Mikowski. Regine just started yesterday, and she's thrilled to be here.
And
so
these people can be reached at the Providence office?
Yes, they're all in the Providence office.
Excellent.
Yep. And then the last thing I wanted to mention was Governor Raimondo's Real Jobs Rhode Island initiative, which the Rhode Island Bankers Association, of which I'm the former president, is a major voice in this. And really, the governor, we've got a federal grant essentially for training purposes. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is to create a training initiative. I believe it's across 22 different industries, of which banking is one. And we would identify, you know, again, Brenda and Peter and Bronwyn as three people that they might be working as desk folks in a branch or as tellers, but we've been able to identify that they've got potential to move up. And well, we've created a training program to basically, if they can demonstrate that they have the affinity to learn about extending commercial credit, we're going to train them to actually move up into those jobs. And then that opens up their old job for other people coming off the street. So, you know, I think it's terrific, because the governor is just so she's so energetic about this and so forth. And the concept of being able to create training that will enable us to hold on to college grads here in Rhode Island, I think that makes it even more super.
Well, and it circles back to what you were saying earlier about you've got an aging workforce that's
exactly.
going to have to be replaced, and so you're being proactive about it, but also giving people the opportunities to improve, and to really just kind of climb the ladder. So that's excellent.
Exactly.
That's really nice.
Exactly.
So, geez. Webster Bank rocks.
Thank
you. You really do. So now I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, actually I'm going to hand it over to you, Peter, because we've got a really big kind of fun, inspire, imagine, ignite campaign that we're kicking off. Want to talk about it?
Yeah, we do. Last time I was on here, actually, it was about a month ago, and we had just on the eve of the Fireball, which was our event where we publicly announced the campaign. And we had our co-chairs, Brooke Lee and Johnny Chase, excited talking about that. And
that was a really cool event.
It was the coolest. So if you're listening and you didn't attend, you better mark your calendars or look for it for next year, because it was the party of the year, without a doubt.
It totally was.
Yeah, it was. We promise. Go to our website and check out the pictures and the video. And there was something for any age. Mm-hmm. And it was a great event. And that announced our Inspire, Imagine, Ignite campaign, the campaign for WaterFire. And we are looking right now at our second 20 years. Well, next year we'll be celebrating 20 years as an organization organizing WaterFire. And, we looked at where we want to go. We had a strategic plan we put together, and we decided in that strategic plan that the direction we wanted to go was to kind of take things up a notch, professionalize, set up a home for ourselves, our first permanent home in the community. And that was 475 Valley was the site of the Fireball, and we bought that in 2012. Mm-hmm. And we started trying to make a plan to make that into more than just our home, but also a community arts center. And that's where we are today. We're really excited about that.
Yeah, and I know, Bob, that you're helping with this campaign committee as well. And I think people think of WaterFire, and we happen 12, 13, 14 times a year, but this is the whole goal, is to really have it so that WaterFire has got a permanent place so that people can come and contribute and, see. It's going to be, we're going to be working with education centers and all different groups so that WaterFire is more permanent, rather than just that the ephemeral, we happen and then we disappear. So that's kind of the direction we're moving in. But Peter, what is it that we need? Moving forward,
money. That's why we got a banker in here today. We've locked the doors and nobody's going until we get this money. So.
Yeah, sorry, Bob. We didn't tell you. There's super glue on that.
I've got the gold bars in the truck.
No, well, we announced a $6.5 million campaign. We've been working on this campaign for a couple of years. It's been kind of in its quiet phase, and we've done a lot of things to raise money for it. Hopefully, if you're in Rhode Island and last November, you voted for Question 5, the Creative and Cultural Economy Bond, and that's going to contribute a little over $3 million, about $3.2 million. That money's matching, so we need people to match that, to release that.
Yeah,
money.
And I don't think a lot of people know that. I don't think that a lot of people realize that we have to raise the funds, and it's a dollar per dollar match, right?
Yeah, so we want people to know that. And not only that, we'll throw in another bonus, because we've gotten historic tax credits on that building. So those will leverage somebody's gift by 20%. And we're working on something else called New Market Tax Credits, which are investments into underserved communities. The U.S. Treasury has a program. And we're right now we're looking hopefully at securing New Market Tax Credits on this. But we do have a goal between now and the end of the year. We need to.
I was going to say, there's a timeline associated with it, right?
We have a little funding gap. We're trying to raise some money, get some pledges in for the next 5 years, somewhere close to $2 million. We've made some progress on that. And that will free up another $3.4 million on the project from federal funds coming into Rhode Island. And what's important about all this stuff is we talk about WaterFire, but this is a major project, and this is going to create construction jobs and full-time jobs. And people don't realize, WaterFire itself supports nearly 1,300 jobs in the community, in the hospitality industries and in the support industries. So we have 22 to 25 full-time employees, but there's a lot of cottage industry that kind of happens off of, and economic impact that happens off of WaterFire activity.
Now, speaking of the hospitality industry, I heard a story today from one of our coworkers that one of a colleague of ours from the Connecticut office wants to come up for WaterFire. this Saturday night, kind of made a last-minute decision. He can't find a hotel room because everything's booked.
Yeah, everything is packed for this weekend.
Everything's booked, and he couldn't believe it. That's how it is every water fire.
Well, you know, I know that that's why Webster has been, one of the reasons why Webster has been such a great supporter of water fire, and I know that, Bob, you're on the campaign committee, but because I know that you know that we're helping to spur the economy here in Rhode Island and do good things, you know. We're just trying to keep on lifting everybody up, and, you know, rising tide floats all boats, as they say, right?
Right, absolutely. Well, we also have, like we said, the cultural economy, the creative and cultural economy bond, which contributes a dollar for dollar match. So the historic tax credits are another 20% lift, and then the new markets are about 39%. So somebody donates now, they're almost getting a 2-for-1 lift to this campaign, which is pretty exciting for us. And Bob is on our campaign committee. He's joined by Barry Hittner and a lot of other community leaders, Arthur Robbins, Carl and Russ Ritchie, Joe DiBattista, and then we have a bunch of board members, Charlie Myers, Betsy Myers, our former chair, John Skenk is the editor of, a publisher of Red Edible Roadie, and Leslie Gardner, our chair. So we're all out there trying to raise money. If you're interested, we hope you are interested in supporting Waterfire, so you can contact us via Bronwyn.
Bronwyn at waterfire.org. Well, I just want to say we are so excited for this weekend's lighting. Thank you to Webster Bank, Brenda.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for all that you do for us. We really appreciate it. Everybody, go to the Waterfire website because things start early at this lighting. 5 o'clock, there's all sorts of stuff that's happening. So go to the Waterfire website, find out what's going on, and we'll see you down by the river. You've been listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business.